You know, there's this old rule of business. It's practically written in stone at this point. If you want to double your output, you have to double your headcount.
Right, yeah. More revenue has just always meant more people.
Exactly. You want to process twice as many invoices, hire more accountants, you want to close twice as many deals. Well, you need a bigger sales floor.
It meant more desks, more laptops, and, a massive HR department to recruit and manage all that talent and eventually replace them when they leave.
It really is the standard physics of corporate growth. You just scale up the human power to handle the increased operational load. But what if I told you that tomorrow your biggest competitor is going to triple their output?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're going to cut their operational costs and they aren't going to hire a single new person to do it.
I mean, they'd be breaking the fundamental physics of that growth equation.
Absolutely. And they are going to do it by changing what artificial intelligence actually does inside their company.
Which is exactly what we need to get into today.
It is. And that is where we are starting today's deep dive. Welcome. If you are listening to this right now, whether you're prepping for a massive strategy meeting, looking for an edge in your own career, or you're just incredibly curious about where the future of work is heading, we are exploring a massive shift today.
A really fundamental shift in how businesses actually grow.
Yes, we are looking at how companies are scaling their output and efficiency without having to scale their headcount.
Which really is the ultimate boardroom dream, right? Uncoupling growth from human labor costs.
Totally. So, to figure out how this is actually happening in the real world, we are decoding a fascinating piece of source material today. It comes from Avahi.
Ah, yes. The AWS Premier Tier Services Partner.
That's them. They've put together a really comprehensive breakdown titled How CEOs Are Scaling Faster Without Hiring, Using Agentic AI for Enterprises.
It's a great piece.
It really is. So our mission for you today is to cut through the standard artificial intelligence hype. You know, we're going to look past the typical chatbots and understand how AI is transitioning from this passive tool into an active autonomous operator.
And that transition is everything because, I mean, for the last few years, we've kind of been stuck in the novelty phase of AI.
Right, the novelty phase.
Yeah, it was all about what the technology could generate on a screen. But now we're entering the execution phase. It's not about what the AI can say to you. It's about what it can actually do inside a live business environment.
Completely on its own.
Exactly. Completely autonomously.
Okay, well, let's unpack this because before we can understand how this technology scales a business, we really need to define exactly what it is and, frankly, what it isn't.
That's a good place to start.
So, the Avahi text breaks down the evolution of enterprise automation into three distinct tiers. And the first tier is something you and I have been using for a decade. Regular automation.
Right, the classic rules-based systems. This is your standard if this, then that logic.
Exactly. So, say a new lead fills out a form on your website. Then the system automatically sends them a welcome email.
Simple enough.
Yeah, it's highly efficient, but it is incredibly brittle. It's totally rigid.
Because it can't adapt beyond the exact parameters you pre-programmed into it.
Right. If the website form breaks, or, if the lead asks a specific unusual question in the comment section that needs a personalized touch, the automation just stops.
Or worse, it fails and sends a completely irrelevant message.
Which is the worst. And then any change in the environment requires a human developer to go in, diagnose the problem, and manually update the rules.
So it's efficient, but it's not smart. Which brings us to the second tier, which is what the entire business world has been obsessing over recently. Generative AI.
Ah, yes. The prompt-based stuff, the chatbots.
Exactly. You sit down at your keyboard, you tell it to write an email, draft a blog post, or summarize a PDF, and it does it instantly.
It significantly improves your personal productivity.
It does. But here's the catch. It still requires your direct human supervision.
Right.
It responds to your prompts, but it doesn't act independently. It's basically just sitting there waiting for you to tell it what to do next.
But then we hit the third tier, agentic AI. And this changes the game entirely.
It really does, because what's fascinating here is the introduction of a mechanism called the decision and execution loop.
The decision and execution loop. Tell me more about that.
Well, agentic AI doesn't just sit there blinking, waiting for a prompt. You give it a high-level goal, and it breaks that goal down into its own subtasks.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it makes decisions, it takes action, it evaluates the real-world result of that action, and then this is the crazy part. It automatically adjusts its approach to hit the goal.
So it just operates in a continuous loop until the job is done.
Exactly. Without you holding his hand.
You know, it makes me think about it like this. Regular automation is like a train on a fixed track. It goes incredibly fast, but it only goes exactly where the steel tracks have already been laid.
Right, and if there's a boulder on the track?
It crashes, exactly. Then, generative AI is like having a brilliant passenger sitting next to you in your car, giving you perfect turn-by-turn directions.
They're incredibly helpful.
Very helpful, but you still have to keep your hands on the steering wheel and drive the car.
Yeah.
But agentic AI is like a fully autonomous vehicle. You just get in and say, get me to the airport. The AI drives, and when it hits unexpected traffic, it actively reroutes itself.
It navigates the detours.
It avoids the accidents and gets you to the destination without you ever touching the wheel.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. And the paradigm shift for you as a listener trying to understand how this impacts your job is the move from delegating tasks to delegating outcomes.
Oh, that's a massive distinction. Delegating outcomes. Say more about that.
Think about how a manager normally uses technology, or even a junior employee. You delegate tasks. You say, write 5 personalized emails to these 5 specific leads and send them by noon.
You're managing the micro steps.
Exactly. With agentic AI, you delegate the outcome. You say, improve our overall lead conversion rate for this quarter by 10%.
And then it just figures it out.
Yes. The system acts as a semi-autonomous contributor. Hmm. It looks at the CRM. It identifies the best leads. It drafts the emails. It sends them. It tracks the open rates.
Wait. And it adjusts if it's not working.
Yes. If the open rates are low, it rewrites its own subject lines for the next batch without you ever having to tell it to do so.
Which is completely mind-blowing when you think about the scale of that. But
yeah.
It begs a really obvious question for me.
Go for it.
If this self-driving business capability is so powerful, why is this shift happening right now? Why wasn't this the conversation we were having 2 years ago?
That's a great question. The source material points to a perfect storm. 3 distinct drivers converging at this exact moment. Let's look at the first one, which is structural pressures.
Okay, structural pressures, meaning what?
Basically, the cost of running a business is simply skyrocketing. Salaries for highly skilled roles, especially in, you know, data analytics, digital marketing, and software engineering, are soaring.
For sure.
And the Avahi text specifically highlights persistent global talent shortages for these specialized roles. They note significant hiring gaps in major tech hubs like India and globally, where companies are dealing with extended recruitment cycles, but still can't find the people they need.
Okay, I have to push back here for a second.
Fair enough, push back.
Because whenever I hear executives talk about a global talent shortage, I get pretty skeptical. Are companies really facing a talent shortage, or is this just a highly convenient excuse to cut corners, fire people, and save money on salaries?
You mean using it as cover?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Oh, we just can't find anyone willing to work. I guess we're forced to use a robot.
It is a very fair point, and that skepticism is incredibly healthy. But if we look at the data in the source provided by McKinsey, we see a different story.
What does McKinsey say?
They report that these AI-driven systems are improving productivity by 20 to 40% across various operational workflows.
That's a huge jump.
It is. So this isn't just a simple cost-cutting measure where you replace a $50,000 employee with a $500 software subscription just to save a buck. It is about closing a literal physical capability gap.
A capability gap? What do you mean by that?
Well, the sheer volume of data processing and digital execution that needs to get done in a modern enterprise has completely exceeded the physical limits of human resources.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, even if you had an unlimited budget, you physically cannot hire and train enough human beings to manually process millions of real-time data points or personalize thousands of customer interactions simultaneously.
Or audit every single line item in a massive corporate budget.
Exactly. The work has just outgrown human scale.
Okay, but even with that 20 to 40% productivity jump, doesn't that just mean the human workers who remain are going to get completely burnt out trying to keep up with the pace of an AI system?
How so?
Like, if my boss tells me I need to be 40% more productive because we installed new software, I'm going to burn out in a month.
Ah, but that's the beauty of the shift from delegating tasks to outcomes. The human isn't working 40% faster to keep up with the AI.
They aren't.
No, the AI is absorbing the massive volume of the execution layer. It's doing the busy work, freeing the human to focus purely on the strategic direction. The AI does the heavy lifting, not the human.
Got it. Okay. Which brings us to the second driver making this possible right now, tech maturity.
Yes. The large language models, the actual brains behind this AI, have evolved.
Right. They don't just predict the next word in a sentence anymore. They can actually reason, plan, and sequence complex actions.
But they wouldn't be able to do anything without the environment they operate in. The text mentions API-first SaaS tools. We should probably clarify that.
Absolutely, because that sounds like a bunch of jargon.
It does. Think of APIs as digital translators.
Mm-hmm.
5 or 10 years ago, if you wanted your accounting software to talk to your marketing software, you had to hire developers to write custom code to bridge them together.
Which was an absolute nightmare.
Total nightmare. Expensive and slow.
Yeah.
But today, almost all modern software, your customer relationship management tools, your dashboards, your marketing suites, are built API first.
Meaning what?
It means their doors are already open. They inherently speak the same language.
So the AI doesn't have to hack its way into your database. The connections are already waiting for it.
Exactly. It can easily plug in, retrieve a customer's data from the CRM, trigger a billing action in the finance software, and update a marketing dashboard across your entire tech stack in real time.
Wow. So the technological barrier to entry has completely plummeted.
It really has.
Which
triggers the third driver, competitive urgency, the fear of falling behind.
FOMO for businesses.
Basically, yeah. Think about the speed advantage here. If your competitor is using agentic AI to instantly respond to a market shift.
Or, you know, continuously adjust a marketing campaign at 3 a.m.
Right. Or process supply chain invoices in real time.
Right.
And your team is still waiting for the Tuesday morning stand-up meeting to even discuss the data. You lose.
You are mathematically outpaced.
Completely.
So the baseline for corporate speed has fundamentally changed. Okay, so the technology has matured, the economic pressure is on, and the competitive threat is real.
The perfect storm.
But theory and boardroom slides only get us so far. Where is this actually generating real-world return on investment today? I imagine this is easiest to deploy where the data is already entirely digital, like marketing.
We absolutely are seeing that. The Avahi text details several high-impact use cases where this is happening right now, and marketing and growth is a prime example.
Are we seeing this actually drive down acquisition costs?
We are. These agentic systems aren't just scheduling social media posts. They're autonomously planning entire campaigns.
Walk us through what that actually looks like in practice. How does it work?
Okay, imagine an agentic AI managing a digital ad campaign. It defines the target segments, allocates the budget across platforms, and generates the creative copy.
Standard AI stuff so far.
Right. But here is the loop in action. It monitors the performance of those ads in real time. Let's say it notices that the Facebook ads are underperforming on a Thursday afternoon, but the LinkedIn ads are getting huge traction.
Okay, so a human would normally look at a dashboard and change it.
But without a human telling it to do so, the AI autonomously shifts the budget away from Facebook, pushes it into LinkedIn, rewrites the ad copy to better match the professional tone of LinkedIn users, and launches the new ads immediately.
While the human marketing director is at lunch.
Exactly. And according to the source, this continuous real-time optimization has contributed to 10 to 25% reductions in customer acquisition costs.
A 25% reduction just by letting the AI continuously optimize the spend without waiting for human approval. That is massive.
It changes the margins entirely.
And the text also mentions SEO, right? Agentic AI is handling end-to-end content pipelines. It does the keyword research, clusters the topics, generates the content, publishes it to the CMS.
And then, crucially, it tracks the Google ranking data to refine its own strategy for the next piece of content.
It's a closed loop. Then there is sales.
Yes, the sales applications are incredibly powerful. Agentic AI can handle dynamic lead scoring.
Meaning it analyzes incoming leads from the website.
Yes. It scores them based on their intent to buy and pushes the high-value prospect to the human sales reps immediately.
Nice.
And for the mid-tier leads, it can send automated, highly personalized follow-ups using context from past interactions. Plus, it automatically updates the CRM records.
Which means the sales reps actually get to spend their time talking to clients instead of doing manual data entry.
Which every sales rep will love.
Absolutely. And it does this for finance and admin, too. Extracting data from vendor invoices, validating it against purchase orders, and auditing expenses.
It covers all the back office bottlenecks.
But here's where it gets really interesting for me.
Oh.
Yeah. If this AI is acting as a sales rep, doing personalized outreach to clients, or it's acting as a finance auditor, checking corporate expenses, what happens when it makes a mistake?
Ah, the error question.
Yeah. Because humans make mistakes, sure. But isn't human judgment ultimately safer when real money or real customer relationships are on the line?
This raises a critical point about error handling, and the source addresses it directly. We have a tendency to view human judgment through rose-colored glasses.
That's true, we do.
We think humans are inherently safer. But the reality of high-volume work is that humans are incredibly prone to inconsistency. We get fatigued, we get distracted, we have bad days.
That's entirely fair. I mean, I definitely wouldn't want me auditing the 400th complex expense report on a Friday afternoon right before a holiday weekend.
Right.
I'm going to miss something.
Exactly. You lose focus.
Mm-hmm.
Agentic AI, on the other hand, operates within strict rule-based boundaries set by management. And because it utilizes those learning loops, it consistently improves over time.
It doesn't get tired on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, it doesn't get bored. It provides a much higher, much more stable baseline of absolute consistency across high-volume tasks than a human ever could.
So what does this all mean for the fundamental structure of a company? Because if agentic AI can now reliably handle the workflows of traditional employees, we have to look at the ultimate showdown in the boardroom.
Investing in AI software versus hiring more human beings.
Exactly. It forces a complete reevaluation of how we view scalability.
It really does. The Abhihi text lays out a comparative framework here that is fascinating. Let's look at scalability first. Humans, as we said, scale linearly.
Meaning if you have twice as much work, you basically need to hire twice as many people.
Exactly. AI scales in parallel. Think about the difference in those mechanics.
Right. I used to think of traditional hiring like a traffic jam, but I think a better way to look at it is a grocery store.
Okay. A grocery store. I like this.
Traditional linear hiring is like a grocery store opening one new checkout lane. Even with a new lane, the cashier still has to process one customer's cart at a time.
Very true.
So if you have 50 carts lined up, you need to build and staff 50 separate lanes. That's linear.
But agentic AI scaling in parallel
is like the grocery store instantly giving every single customer in the building their own personal lightning-fast self-checkout scanner the second they walk in the door.
Wow. Yes.
The AI can process 50, 100, or 1,000 complex tasks simultaneously. The bottleneck completely disappears.
That parallel capability is what changes the math. And then you look at the time to productivity. If you hire a human, you're looking at weeks of recruiting, interviewing, hiring.
And then months of onboarding and ramp-up time before they're fully productive and actually returning value to the company.
Exactly. But deploying and configuring an AI system to take over a workflow takes days, maybe weeks.
And we can't ignore the hidden costs. Humans come with attrition. They quit. They take sick leave. They move on to other jobs.
And then you have training gaps, and you have to start the whole expensive linear hiring process over again.
Now, to be fair to the source, AI comes with hidden costs too. You know, you have to pay for cloud compute, maintenance, monitoring, and occasional system tuning.
Sure, but it is a completely different scale of investment.
Totally.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the text has a section on the future of work that highlights a macro shift every listener needs to understand.
What's the shift?
The best companies are moving away from measuring headcount as a sign of success, and they are starting to measure capability per employee.
Yes. The text brings up Shopify and Klarna as real-world examples of this shift.
Klarna is a great example. They made headlines because they publicly stated they successfully reduced their reliance on large customer support teams by deploying AI-driven systems.
But they didn't just fire everyone in a panic, right?
No. They used the AI to absorb the massive volume of routine inquiries. This allowed them to freeze hiring and let natural attrition occur.
Wow. All while actually maintaining or even improving their customer service response times.
Exactly. They aren't looking at a spreadsheet asking how many people do we have. They're asking, what is the total massive capability of our lean human team when they are augmented by these parallel AI systems?
Okay, so the business case is incredibly strong. The parallel scaling makes total sense. But for you, listening to this, you know you can't just flip a switch on your laptop and turn your mid-sized company into Klarna by tomorrow afternoon.
No, definitely not.
How do you actually build this without breaking your existing operations?
Well, the Abhihi source outlines a strategic 5-phase roadmap for implementation. And it starts with phase one, identify value.
Which means?
You don't just sprinkle AI over your entire company and hope it works. Mm-hmm. You have to be surgical. You look for functions that have high labor costs and operational bottlenecks.
Okay, so finding the pain points.
Specifically, you want to target tasks that are repetitive but still require a level of dynamic decision-making, like support ticket triage or qualifying sales leads.
That makes sense. Find the expensive bottlenecks. So once you find the target, how do you avoid breaking the company while installing it? Do you just fire the support team on Friday and turn the AI on by Monday?
Definitely not. That is a recipe for disaster. Which brings us to phase two. Start with augmentation.
Augmentation, not replacement.
Right. The text strongly advises using hybrid models and running small pilots within specific teams before you ever consider full replacement of a workflow.
But wait, if phase two is entirely about augmentation and running hybrid models alongside humans, doesn't that suggest that full autonomous agentic AI is still a bit of a myth?
What do you mean?
Like, do we always need a human babysitter watching these systems to make sure they don't hallucinate or crash?
That is a great observation, and it touches on a very real debate right now.
Mm-hmm.
The text section on AI-human collaboration clarifies this. The immediate future isn't about AI replacing humans in a dark, empty factory.
Thank goodness.
Right. It is about a new operating model entirely. Look at how Microsoft is approaching this. They are embedding AI co-pilots into everyday office workflows. The humans aren't babysitters. Their roles are elevated.
Elevated to what?
Humans handle the strategy, the creative direction, the empathy, and the complex oversight. The AI handles the high-volume execution loop.
I see. So the human marketing director decides the overall strategy and the brand voice for the campaign, and then the agentic AI actually executes the thousands of micro-decisions required to buy the digital ads.
It analyzes the click rates and optimizes the spend across 50 different platforms.
Exactly. The human points the ship, and the AI rows the oars at hyperspeed.
That's a great way to put it. Once a team proves this works in a pilot, they face the next hurdle in phase three. Build versus buy.
Ah, the classic tech dilemma.
Always. They have to decide if they want off-the-shelf speed buying a prepackaged AI tool, which is cheaper and faster to deploy, or if they need custom-built flexibility.
Which I assume aligns perfectly with their specific internal company processes, but costs significantly more to develop.
Exactly. Which leads right into phase four, integration. And this is the make-or-break phase.
Why is that?
It's about establishing reliable data pipelines. Because as we discussed with the APIs, if your shiny new AI system cannot securely talk to your CRM or your financial software, it can't execute any actual outcomes.
It's just an isolated brain sitting in a jar on a server somewhere.
Exactly. Useless. And finally, we have phase five, scale and standardize. This is where you transform the AI from a cool, isolated pilot project into a core operational capability.
So rolling it out company-wide.
Yes. You establish internal playbooks, strict governance policies, security protocols, and performance monitoring.
And this brings us to a really important point about how this is actually achieved in the real world. Because as a listener, you might be thinking, great, I'll just plug an open source LLM into my company's database and let it run.
Good luck with that.
Right. But doing that securely, without accidentally exposing your proprietary company data or customer records to the public internet, requires incredibly complex cloud architecture.
It's incredibly risky if done wrong.
And that is specifically why the source of our material today, Avahi, exists in this space.
Exactly. They aren't just selling a chatbot. As an AWS cloud consulting partner, their entire role is to help enterprises build this infrastructure securely.
So they do the heavy lifting on the back end.
They do. They use secure environments like Amazon Bedrock to integrate these advanced AI capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
They build the data pipelines, they develop the custom AI agents, and they automate the model optimization.
So a company can seamlessly and securely switch between different AI models depending on what is most cost-effective for a specific task.
Precisely. They are essentially the Sherpas guiding businesses up this very steep, very technical mountain, ensuring the autonomous engine is built on a rock-solid, secure cloud foundation.
Okay, we have covered an immense amount of ground today. Let's bring it all together for you.
Let's do it.
We started by looking at how the old linear equation of business growth, more output equals more headcount is fundamentally breaking down.
And we saw how agentic AI moves way beyond just generating a draft email for you.
It's moving into a system that can take a strategic goal, make its own decisions, execute tasks across your software, and learn from the real-world outcomes.
We also examined the structural pressures, you know, the capability gaps and the competitive urgency that are forcing this shift right now.
And we looked at the real-world ROI across marketing, sales, and operations, where AI's parallel scaling is driving down costs and increasing speed.
The ultimate takeaway from this deep dive is that your future value in the workplace, whether you are a CEO looking at the bottom line, a middle manager, or a frontline specialist, will not be defined by how fast you can complete manual, repetitive tasks.
Your value will be defined by how effectively you can manage, guide, and collaborate with these intelligent, autonomous systems.
The future belongs to leaner, highly strategic, cross-functional teams that use AI capabilities to drive massive, outsized outcomes.
It is a profound career shift. You are moving from being a task doer to being a system director. But I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you go about the rest of your day or as you head into your next strategy meeting.
Okay, let's hear it.
We talk extensively today about how these agentic systems learn. We talked about how they continuously evaluate real-world outcomes to optimize their next action without human bias.
Right, the learning loops.
Exactly. Well, if agentic AI eventually masters the execution of complex business strategies and its learning loops make it incredibly consistent, tireless, and objective at evaluating those operational outcomes.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
What happens when it turns that evaluative capability upward? What happens when it starts evaluating the human managers?
Oh, wow. That is a heavy thought.
Right. If the AI is managing the execution, will we reach a point in this AI-human collaboration where the AI looks at the strategic goals we set, analyzes the execution data, realizes the human strategy was flawed, and starts giving us our performance reviews?
That completely flips the script on the entire human oversight model.
It really does. Remember that simple corporate equation we started with? Double the output, double the headcount.
Yeah.
It turns out this transition to agentic AI might not just be rewriting how companies grow. It might be rewriting who exactly is managing the growth.
Fascinating stuff.
It is. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the evolving landscape of enterprise AI. We'll be back soon with another exploration of the ideas shaping our world. Keep questioning, keep learning, and we will see you next time.